This is a production of Cornell University.
December 21st minutes. This is the meeting before break. Are there any motions at this time?
So I'm going to move to accept the minutes from December 21st. There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes for December 21st are approved. Next are December 7th minutes. Any motions at this time? Motions, amendments? No. There's been a motion to approve the minutes for December 7th.
Second.
There's a second. It's been seconded. Any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes for December 7th are approved. Whew, moving right through. Okay. Committee reports. I'm assuming no committees met over break, I would assume. But we will talk about committees in a later piece of this. There is no report from the chair today. We'll get to that all in our discussion time. We'll move on right to business of the day. We have our favorite employee assembly member emerita, Linda Crow Howell here from HR Analytics, to go over retiree representation on the employee assembly. So I will let you have it.
Mm-hmm. This is actually not the HR analytics part, although this applies to HR analytics, and this is really the other area that I oversee are work-life services, and part of work-life services is the Cornell Retirement Association, so retirement programs is part of the area of human resources that I oversee, and I am the director of human resources today, but she's working well with that Michelle Arnie, just to make note that she is, and she's more directly involved with the management of the Cornell Retirement Association. So, this is a little bit, maybe I won't to advance it, do I just hit arrow over? Ah, oh, perfect. Can everybody see it? Mm-hmm. Can those who are joining us through remotely see it? They're seeing their slide. Okay, I just want to make sure. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of background and information about retirees and why we're putting such a huge focus on retirees and many other populations too. We're at the very beginning of a really huge workforce shift that's going to happen across our workforce. There is a very large number of our employees who are currently eligible to retire today. They can come in today and say, I'm retiring, you know, with the university having the early retirement age, or within the next 5 years we'll be able to do the same, and I'll show you that data and how impactful it is. We're finding that employees are choosing to stay in the workforce longer than they did, say, 10, 20 years ago. A lot of the data that's out there by AARP is saying, particularly the baby boom generation, that people are saying that some people are saying they could never not see themselves in the workforce, so that's something we're keeping in mind. We're getting many more requests for flexible or part-time work saying, I don't really want to retire yet, but I'd like to go part-time. Can I do part-time for the next 2 or 3 years? There's a lot more of that going on. And the last thing that we're seeing is a lot of people who have retired either want to come back part-time, they want to come back, you know, seasonally, or they say, you know what, I want to come back full-time, whether it's because they're bored, whether it's because they want to try a new career, whether it's financially that they need to do that. But that's some of what we're seeing and hearing. So I want to just share with you how pronounced this trend is. When I said there's a large change, and with this being the employee assembly, the staff and the union are where I would focus your attention right now. That's in blue is the percentage of the overall staff population and union population that are eligible to retire today. They're at least 55 years of age and have at least 10 years of university service. Within 5 years, it goes up to here. So if you look at the percentage of our workforce, that's almost 40% within 5 years of our staff workforce and our union workforce would be eligible to retire by the university's retirement standards. So I just want to point to what large, now you can see on the faculty side, we're already at like 43%, and they're going up to 53%. So when I say there's a large shift in our workforce that's going to happen within the next 5 to 10 years, this is what I'm talking about. We're going to need to look differently. Those who choose to retire, we're going to need to be bringing in a large number of new people we're at the cusp of it right now. So we're really trying to be planful. We're really trying to look at what people need and want in the workforce. You know, this desire to work part-time, this desire to work seasonally. We're thinking about all of those things and how to keep people engaged with Cornell that have tremendous amounts of experience and knowledge that would be walking out the door with them were they to just leave the university right now. So I just want to present that. It's the only data slide, I promise. An HR analyst, I have to present at least one data slide. So I wanted to just give you overall two of the retiree organizations on campus just to make you aware of them in case you weren't yet. The Cornell Retiree Association, anyone who retires from Cornell University is automatically offered membership into the Cornell Retiree Association. I don't know who's aware of that. There's no fee to join. It's just an immediate offering of membership into it. The emphasis of the CRA, the Cornell Retiree Association, is to continue social connectedness with retirees. We even try to keep somewhat connected with retirees that leave the Ithaca area. We have retirees in almost every state in the country. We know where the concentrations of them are. We send them regular newsletters. Usually we have about 3 or 4 a year that we send out about things that are going on and some areas of interest. And we also send them just-in-time news through a regular retiree newsletter, e-news that goes out. So it could be things, you know, activities that are going on campus, activities that are going on in the community that we think retirees would be interested in either participating in or just even knowing about. We hold big formal events here in Ithaca 3 to 4 times a year. Usually it involves a very subsidized luncheon with a guest speaker who will come and speak on a subject that our retiree association has chosen. A lot of times it's faculty members who will come and present on something of interest. The last one we had was talking about the architectural history of the university. It was really interesting, and Hugh Wong presented for us. And we usually have a big luncheon and a social part of it too. Barbecue, that kind of thing. And then there's also the wellness program also works very closely with CRA, so there's a lot of wellness classes and special healthy aging types of initiatives that happen with the wellness program in partnership with the Cornell Retiree Association. So that's the piece that my area focuses on, is the Cornell Retiree Association. Then just so that you're aware of it, on the faculty side, there's something called CAPE, which is the Association of Professors Emeriti. Their name's a little bit misleading because it's not just for emeritus professors, but it's also for people that were in academic positions. You know, not all faculty who retire are emeritus. Some just retire, and that's fine too. There is a small fee to join that, $20 a year, and they have regular lecture series with luncheons and that kind of thing, as well as activities. And we actually share a lot of things that go out commonly on both listservs, a lot of activities, events, and stuff like that. And the last piece was the piece I really wanted to highlight, is that CAPE has representation on Faculty Senate. So there is a faculty senator that is a CAPE member, an emerita faculty member. So I just wanted to note that piece of it that is the different part. So that naturally leads to the next place that I was going, which was I wanted consideration for possibly thinking about having our own retiree emeritus representation from the staff side on employee assembly, and that's really why I'm here to talk about it. And there's many reasons why I think it makes sense at this point, where I hadn't brought this up sooner. Part of it is this new movement where just 1 year alone, it was in the last couple of years, we had about close to 500 retirees that came back to work on campus. And some of them were for a couple of days during move-in, some of them were for the whole year. So there's more and more of this kind of part-time contingent employee representation where they're going in and out of retirement to kind of being in an employee status and back and forth. So they have their own kind of voice on what that experience is like for them. And I think that they can help to provide that voice here because we have many other people who are not retirees who also come and work here temporarily, part-time, that kind of thing. I think they provide the benefit of historical perspective on the university. How many times I remember it being in EA where we said, well, how did that first start, or how did that come to be? Many times, you know, that's the kind of questions we have, and by having somebody who provides more of a historical perspective, they can kind of give some of that background on those kinds of items. We have found that our retirees tend to have a little more time available to actually participate on other committees. So where there's subcommittees that you're looking for participation, it will not necessarily even just be who the representative, but they could get the word out if you think that there's other committees that you would like more volunteers on where other retirees can get involved with some of the subcommittees here. We thought that it could be one seat that is maybe shared by two retirees, you know, so one or the other would come with the understanding that a lot of times there's other appointments and obligations that they may have, so they would just make sure one of them was here, was one thought we had. And then in thinking about it, if you do decide this is something you want to think about, some of the things you might want to think about in who that person might be was maybe someone who served on EA when they were here as an employee, maybe somebody that recently retired so that they're still kind of, you know, in the know on what the issues are on campus and the current issues, and maybe a retiree that's still working part-time in a casual way. So those are some things to think about, but I just wanted to put it out there as a possible consideration to think about having a retiree sit on EA. So, any thoughts or questions?
How would you reach our prospective applicants? Is it only the ones who belong to CRA, or through benefit services could you reach out to all retirees?
So the CRA list starts out as all retirees, mm-hmm. and then some people say, will send us a note and say, I live in North Carolina, I don't want to be on this anymore, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
So basically all retirees who are kind of actively still engaged with the university are on that listserv.
Okay.
So it's a pretty comprehensive listserv.
I think it's a great idea, especially as we
start moving into that kind of integrating more of retirees still having some footprint here as an employee. That's why we thought now it made sense, because we're really moving more and more in that direction. And I think there could be a lot of benefits, you know, whether or not you wanted to be a voting member or just someone to give a perspective, you know, would be up to you to decide. But we just thought at this point in time, as we're really going to be building out more of the retiree programs and more support for the shift in our workforce, we thought it made sense now to bring it forward to the group. So I don't know if you guys have more questions for me or you want to talk about it and get back to me. Okay.
The question about the faculty and representation, is it a voting position?
You know, I am not sure. Charles Walcott was their rep mm-hmm. on the latest on 15-16, and they didn't post who their, if he's still their rep. I know that they would input to the conversations when I sat on Faculty Senate. There would always be, you know, input from the emeritus faculty member who was on the who represented them, but I don't remember whether or not that person actually voted.
Good question. Be looking at if we create a seat, would we say would it be a voting member or not? Is it someone who has a voting position like you all do, or do we appoint an ex officio member from CRA? Who has speaking privileges and make motions that cannot necessarily vote on action. So that's.
I think if they're representing retired employees who are coming back working temporarily or whatever, and their rights and concerns, I think that they may want to have voting status on the still working side as an employee aspect of that.
Yeah.
That raises the interesting question we have. I don't know if it was last year, maybe it was last year, 2 years ago, I was a temp. about how temporary employees are not
given
voting
rights.
Right. And part-time employees.
Is it part-time 20 plus hours? The official part-time of benefits eligible part-time? Yeah, okay. I'm guessing that's probably what it is, because they're considered regular employees at that point in time, just part-time status. So, you know, many of them will be what they consider casual, which is 19 hours or less a week, you know, seasonal, but they still will be here working alongside of other Cornell employees, you know, and some of them come back full-time. In fact, one of the things we've been hearing more and more were the large number of employees
And I don't know how many of you were here in 2009 when we offered the early retirement incentive, and part of the contingency on taking it was that you could not work at the university full-time for 3 years. And so a number of individuals who did take that are starting to come forward and say, I'd like to go back and work full-time at Cornell again as an employee. So we're starting to hear more of that, too. So they'll have a very interesting perspective in having been retired and then wanting to come back full-time as a regular employee. So, yeah, we're just hearing a lot more of that, and that's why we thought it made sense now. I don't know exactly, and to be perfectly honest, one of the things we're hearing from retirees is that they're having a hard time figuring out how to even start navigating that. So when SRI first happened, one of the things that I offered were some job search and seek training programs to help people with their resumes and help them to understand how to navigate in the kind of internet world that we know, because many people hadn't been looking for jobs in 25 years. So I'm actually thinking about reintroducing that program back out to help people who want to come back so that they have more of the tools and know how to navigate through Cornell a little better. So that's one of the things that I'm putting on the docket for our retirees going forward.
Not
in my extra free spare time.
Other questions or comments?
If I may, I just have a question, and it's more of a looking at at where we are in the arc of Cornell and its workforce right now. I don't even know quite how to frame the question. Are these the folks that Cornell will be hiring in these positions? I mean, it seems to me that the workforce is changing quite dramatically, and is it likely that Cornell will want to be hiring folks that have already chosen to not continue their employment here? Other than starting to, feeding from the getting new employees here. It's just not an ageism question so much as in this community of where Cornell is the major employer, it's not hiring new employees then.
Oh, believe me, we're hiring new employees. we need to focus on both sides, I think. And I think that there's a lot of people. I mean, there's a very well-regarded staff member that I know who has worked in her same role for over 20 years and is very successful, very good, very well thought of, who on the side had a conversation with me the other day, who, by the way, is one of those, the 23% now that could retire right now, who said to me, I've been here, I love Cornell, I've been doing the same thing for all, and I really just want to do something completely different, for the next 10 years of my life. And I think that she will be royally successful no matter where she goes. That's how she is. She will do her best, and she'll come up to speed and everything. She has, we want to encourage her to stay here. Frankly, I don't know how we'll bring that many new people, if that many people left, to this community to work here. I think we'll find ourselves really struggling if we don't do more to retain those that we have and give that opportunity. I really believe that, because when you're looking at the large numbers, when you're looking at 43% of the work, or 39% of the workforce, of the staff workforce, that's like 2,000 or 3,000 people. that's a lot of positions to fill. So I think we need to be creative in how we fill them. And in some cases, it will be people who, want to get reskilled and retooled and do something different. And there's nothing wrong with someone wanting to do something different. They're saying people are going to have more and more careers. And, we offer a lot of training and reskilling and retooling. And, I think it's great. So, yes, I think the opportunity's there. I think one of the other pieces we need to do is just give people the skills and tools to be able to do that more successfully and to be able to compete for the position. So that's one of the pieces, that we're looking into, is how can we continue to support the career development and growth for people to try something new, do something new. It's a good question. It's a very honest question.
Thank you.
Mayor Tavina, yes. It's funny that you say that, because we were saying, as we were thinking about temp pools and the temp agencies that we've used, what can we do to kind of create this more in our own temp pool? Because if you talk to a lot of retirees, they'll say, you know what, during these months I really want to travel and don't want to be tied down, but I'd be happy to, you know, work in this. And you're hearing on the HR side, they'll say, oh, you know, we had someone leave, and that position is going to take us at least 3 or 4 months to fill, and it would be fantastic if we can find someone who has basic Cornell knowledge and information and knows our systems that we can plug in for that 3 or 4 months while we're trying to hire somebody to bring someone here, which, as anyone who's been in recruiting knows, it can take months and months and months. I mean, to bring people from outside between first selecting them and then them having to take down their life wherever they are and move them here, it takes months. And they said to have someone who has Cornell knowledge already and knows some of our systems and programs and stuff, you know, who wants to be there for that period of time is a win-win. So we're thinking more about how we can look at that more as our temp pool or our pool for those kinds of activities. So that, absolutely, I think that makes a lot of sense for as departments are like reinventing how they're doing things and re-looking at tasks and stuff like that, that would be a perfect place for us to have those kinds of roles. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks. It's always nice to come back. Okay.
Actually, you're due back next week or not next week? Next meeting.
Wasn't this from our meeting?
I think we have Marion Clark burnt down.
That's the first meeting in February.
Right, yeah.
So weren't you coming before that to
do like a historical kind of thing of the survey?
Yeah, because didn't this come out of our meeting with Marin and Laura Johnson-Kelly to talk about when we're going to do our annual survey thing?
Okay, well,
I'll send you a note.
Yeah, I was like, that makes sense.
Would that be something folks would like to hear? If not, then I don't want to push it out there. But I've seen some nods, so it'd be great.
Maybe like a history of the last survey, kind of how it would be something
right.
That.
Some of the trends that we saw last time. And I don't think we got an explanation of the results of the last survey. So I think this might be helpful for people to give some context of what we're getting, what we'll get in February from Marin.
And we'll be going to continue what we can talk about.
Yes, that would be great. That would be great, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. And I know you're always excited.
Oh, my
and I'll send you a note. I'll have Jeremy send you a note. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And let me know if you have, in your discussions, if you have any questions or if you want Michelle or I to come back.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I can also, with what you're sharing from the industry, I could also bring the time to report out that we gave to the President and Mary on all the committees and stuff like that.
Oh, please. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, great. See, this is the exciting thing. Great. Gina, could you pull up the dashboard, please? Thank you. Okay, folks. So, just FYI, note on the agenda, our the sponsors of R8 are all out today, so we're actually tabling that until we have time for at a later meeting. Going back very quickly on a parliamentary note, we actually are at 44% of our membership. We do not have quorum, so the motions on the minutes are actually void. At this point in time, they cannot be approved because we do not have a quorum to conduct business. Thankfully, we have a light agenda today for the rest of the meeting and nothing that requires an actual vote. So if it's all right with you, I would entertain a motion to kind of convene in an executive session right now, which means it's not an open or recorded meeting. It's just it's just us going over kind of what's literally on the agenda, about our own member internal expectations and conversations. Is that okay with everybody?
Motion for executive session.
Here's a motion for executive session. Second. It's been seconded. Any dissent to that? Seeing none, we are convening an executive session at this point, so there will be no more recording in the...
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.